Hey, this is Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube, helping you jumpstart your career in financial services. As always, I'm bringing to you fresh ideas from a recently aired video on my YouTube channel, which you can find at www.youtube.com/theYouTubeCFP. Do me a favor, my friend, and text me at 214-699-7599 with any questions you might have from this show so I can help you along your journey in becoming a successful financial professional. Again, that number is 214-699-7599. All right, let's hop into today's topic. Hey everybody, Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube, and I'm super excited to bring to you a Conversations in Finance with my friend, Lauren Williams. Lauren is the first American woman to medal in not only the Summer Games, but also the Winter Games. She brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to the table in this conversation, and being an athlete turned financial planner, she is the consummate conversation on career changing. And so there's a lot here in this conversation that I want to unpack, that she unpacked in our conversation for career changers. So make sure you listen all the way to the end. She's got so many value bombs that she drops throughout this conversation. And we first started with the money story, how she got to be where she is now and what it was like growing up in her household.
5-minute version of my life story. Who knows? So I was 20 years old at the University of Miami running track and living my best life. I ran the second fastest time in the world at the national championships. All I was trying to do was win nationals that year. Like, got there in my freshman year, didn't win. Got there my sophomore year, didn't win. But my junior year, I was like, okay, how do I win the national championships for college track and field? I did that, ran the second fastest time in the world at 20 years old. I had to turn my focus to becoming an Olympic athlete because it was 2004 and I was currently the fastest American. So wasn't really optional at that point. Hadn't really planned on that.
Kind of. That's interesting. I never knew that about your story. You were kind of, were you kind of forced into that a little bit just because of how well you did?
Pretty much. Exactly. So I was the fastest American in the Olympic year and everybody's like, wait a minute, hold on 1 second. So immediately the sponsors started to swarm. And for track and field is a little bit different than like, you know, NFL, MLB or, you know, big sports like that. Whereas it's like you have this great performance and then people start to reach out to you. So we're not W-2 employees of any company. We depend solely on sponsorship dollars. So my coach sat me down, had a talk with me, said, hey, you know, it's not in your best interest to stay in school as much as I'd like you to, because, you know, my job is to make the best athletes at the university. But, wow. You know, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity, the earnings that you can get from leaving school. So
Wow.
I left. I decided to leave the University of Miami and pursue professional sports.
So this is 2004, 2005-ish?
2004, yeah.
Okay.
So became a professional athlete, had a contract for over $200,000. I come from a family of 5 sisters, 2 brothers. So
that's a lot of money.
There's a lot of us. Exactly. There was not a lot of financial literacy. My father had leukemia. My mother spent a good bit of time laid off during my childhood. So there just wasn't a lot to go around and there wasn't literacy around like what to do with it when you had it. I was lucky enough to at least have been a finance major. So I had some awareness, but I hadn't had any personal finance classes. And so I think that's one of the things that like is a gap is people assume like, oh, you're a finance major, you got this. And I almost felt like I should have it because I was a finance major, but I was humble enough to know like, I need some help.
Yeah.
So friend of a friend introduced me to, you know, someone that was their advisor, et cetera, ended up in the hands of a financial advisor that I just felt like didn't really understand what I needed. So this gentleman was very investment focused. We know that there's a large part of the industry where people sell products and they make a commission off those products. And all they're trying to do is get their product in your possession so that they can make a living. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got to make a living. So I'm not throwing any shade, but I'm a CFP and I'm a CFP for a reason, because I believe that your full financial picture is what we need to look at. And so I had questions like, how do I make a budget? Can I move out from living with my college roommate? Because I wasn't really sure. Like, I was like, I feel like this is a lot of money, but I don't know. Like, can I buy a new car? Because, you know, I was riding on a college, the most beat up Jeep ever. Let's just call it that.
ever existed. Ever.
ever, you know, everybody has their own worst car ever, but yes, I'm sure mine was the worst ever. and so, yeah, little questions like that weren't getting answered for me. You know, can I, you know, buy a house? If I can buy a house, how much house should I purchase? So I was asking the right questions, but the gentleman wasn't focused on getting me the answer to those questions and making sure that I was good in those areas. He was just focused on the investment area. The long story short there is that I left him after we lost some money, and I didn't really get a good explanation on why we lost money, which, you know, happens in the investment market. So this is not a story of like my money was stolen and, you know, 30 for 30 broke. But it is also like I did not get what I felt I needed from someone. So switched and went to a different gentleman.
Next, I wanted to get Lauren's opinion on where financial coaching and financial advising could possibly fit in to the life of a person seeking financial advice. Here's what she had to say.
It sounds like maybe like an AFC, accredited financial counselor, or somebody like that could have been like who you needed before you went to a financial advisor. Is that maybe accurate?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And there's not a lot of merging of those two things. So like you hear a six-figure income, you're like, oh, you need a financial advisor. But if you have no literacy, you probably do need a coach. We need more advisors to know more coaching information and to be willing to invest the time in it. But we also need more coaches that understand like, okay, this is my area of expertise. This is what I can do. And then I need to pass you on. Yeah. You know, my fear based on what I've seen in coaches up to, you know, up to this point would be that somebody would have bumped into me and tried to hold on to me, even though they didn't have enough, you know, enough literacy or enough skills to pass me on to the next person. So
yeah,
I could have been in a coach's hands forever.
Yeah,
which also could not have been good. But
next, I was curious as to how Lauren even found out about the profession of certified financial planner. And you're going to be surprised what her answer was, or maybe you won't.
Yeah, it came from, like you said, the negative experience with gentleman number one. I hired another guy. That experience went actually worse than the first one. Wow. Yeah, that was a company that got shut down because they invested a bunch of NFL players' money and the casino never opened. Yeah, like neither here nor there. It didn't go well.
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of like, where does the rubber meet the road? What do I need to do to get the information I need? And literally a Google search is what led me to the CFP coursework.
That's crazy. Like, why is it so freaking hard to find good advice?
Exactly how I felt. And I was having, you know, like I was talking to like networking and talking to people that I knew in my circle. And everybody kept saying, oh, it sounds like you want to be a financial advisor. You should go get a Series 7. And I actually got the Series 7 book at one point, and I was like, this is not what I want to like learn. Like this is all about investing, and like I need a budget. Like I need to know, like you said, I'm moving from this apartment to this, or when should I sell this house, and for a loss or for like there's so many things going on in my financial life. So Google search got me the CFP coursework. I enrolled blindly, not working in the industry, not having any clue what the industry was about still.
Wow.
just hit the go button. Like I said, I had plenty of paid my $7,000, Lord, I was able to get it. It's painful. Even though I could afford it, I was just like, ooh, this is an expensive class. But
yeah.
I bought it.
And you went through, and you went through one of the education providers that are registered with the CFP board program.
Exactly. I did the Dalton Guaranteed to Pass setup.
Yep.
So started on that. And at the time I was dating a nice gentleman, and he was transitioning from his job residency to basically becoming a doctor. And someone told him, you need to get a NAPFA advisor. So we both Googled NAPFA, what's a NAPFA advisor. And I was like, oh, they're all CFPs. Like that's that thing I'm enrolled in.
Gotcha.
That was literally as much as I knew. I was like, okay, someone told him to get one of these advisors, and they're a lot of CFPs. I'm going to look on their website more and see what I can do. So I got an internship with the NAPFA company in College Station, Texas, and it was a game changer. The service that they were providing to their clients as a fee-only RIA institution were completely different than the services I had received from the two gentlemen. And I was like, okay, financial planning is a thing. This industry does not have like all shady, low integrity.
Salespeople
that are about one thing. Exactly. Okay, I think I might be able to stick around. And so I got more excited about my CFP coursework. The big thing was that I learned during that internship was most of the firms that exist in this world have big minimums. So the things that are going to offer financial planning, they're also going to come with, you need to have $1 million in assets. And I'm like, gosh, like
Yeah.
Well, how do you get $1 million if you never get any financial advice or somebody tell you how to get $1 million?
Yeah.
And I
another catch 22. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And I just kept thinking about myself. And like I said, over 200K of income. And I'm like, that's a really good living, especially for a stinking 20-year-old.
Yeah.
And I still would not have been able to be a client. I would have had to save for 6 or 7 years because we got to take some taxes out of that money. And figure out how to save on my own for 6 or 7 years before I would have been able to even get the advice that I needed. And I was like, this is crazy.
Wow.
That's what prompted me into the industry was I needed to fill a gap that I saw, and it was just very blatant for me.
We also had to talk about what the career switch was actually like. How tough was it? This is what Lauren had to say.
Let me ask you this, because, okay, so you have the money story, you go through, you know, a successful track and field career, which we didn't go over highlights, but maybe we'll do that later. But all that, and then into the CFP realm. So you're this former Olympian and sitting at College Station, just learning financial planning and learning the process, like basically starting over from the bottom, learning everything. What would you say the toughest thing in making a big switch like that was? Like being financially ready, being knowledge ready, like what, like kind of walk me through that. Cause to me, just
all the things, all the things make this road a very tough one travel. So the first thing I'll say is, like you said, you have no network. So I came into this industry completely blind. All I had was the, you know, the 12 people that worked at the place that I had the internship as.
Well, hold on then. So, cause some people may go like, no, like I just looked you up. Like you're a four-time Olympian. You had like all these athletes, you know, and all this other kind of stuff. Like why you didn't have it? Why don't you feel like that was a network?
That was not a network of financial professionals who knew this industry. So
Okay.
That was a big thing for me is like, you know, how to navigate this thing beyond just getting the CFP, because I, like I said, I found it, I enrolled. That was the extent. I was getting that knowledge for myself in my brain. I wasn't career changing, if you will.
Got it.
And then I realized like, oh, this could be my career change because I was at the end of my career. It was definitely like lack of information and not knowing, like I said, still not having the right questions to ask because I just didn't know what the industry was.
In my 10 tips guide, I talk about the importance of mentorship. And I was curious, with Lauren having a career switch like she did, what was mentorship like with her? And how did she go about doing that?
So talk about mentorship at that firm in College Station. How was the mentorship program? Because a lot of people ask me about that. Like, I'm looking for a mentor. I'm looking for someone to kind of be a Yoda for me, if you will, guide me along the path to becoming a Jedi or however. I don't know where that analogy was going. But anyway, the point is like, what was mentorship like at that firm? Did they have a structured path for somebody coming in like you to, you know, move from, let's say, entry level to lead advisor to partner to any of that kind of stuff?
So I don't know about the actual like career path options because I knew I wasn't staying in College Station for the long term. But mentorship wise, it was very like kind of a hodgepodge. Like I said, it was a small firm. So I kind of got passed around between different people and I got to learn from different learning styles. Everybody was very open though. That was one thing that I really enjoyed about the firm.
And when you say small, how large a firm was it? Like
like 500 million of assets. Yeah.
Okay. And maybe like what, 5-6 advisors or?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, probably wasn't. I said 12 and I probably wasn't 12. I think they're probably 12 now. I think we were like 8 at the time.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
We're probably 4 advisors. So 4 client service people and then 4 advisors. Anyways. So mentorship looked like sitting in meetings, listening to what was going on, you know, asking questions of them, you know, being given small little projects just to open my mind to what financial planning had to offer. They took me to the NAPFA conference, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. But I still didn't understand, like, you know, said all the different facets of like, you know, why were they so different from the advisors that I had in the past? So I didn't know that they were fee only and fiduciary and, you know, that the other guy was commission, and I still didn't understand. And then you have like a broker dealer and like, how does this whole like hierarchy of things work? And it's like, you're calling yourself an RIA, but you do investments, but the other guy does investments, but he gets a commission and you don't. Like, and then, yeah, it was super confusing. I'm not gonna say I'm 100% sure how it works now. Like, I'm not gonna tell no lies. Like, some days I'm just like, oh, okay, that's what you do. I'm gonna just roll with it.
So, and you're so all that. So you're basically drinking from a fire hydrant as far as trying to learn the industry and learn the business.
They've hired you while you're taking your CFP, doing your coursework and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So you're getting the experience component out the way, I would imagine. But it's just a lot of information coming in. So, and without a direct career path trajectory, it's like, dude, where do I, you know, where do I get my next drink? You know, oh, water's all in my face.
Exactly. That is okay. Exactly how I felt. Was like, okay. I'm doing all of this and I'm thirsty for the knowledge, but at the same time I'm drowning because there's a fire hose coming at me and I'm not sure, you know, where I should put my hand to, you know, stop the water here and continue to drink over here. And, you know, what's the most efficient way to go about this?
Lauren told me that she recently earned the AFC, the Accredited Financial Counselor designation, after already being a certified financial planner. And I was curious, which would she choose if she had to do it all over again? And this was her answer.
Would you have maybe wanted to go down that path if you had it all over to do again?
I might, you know, okay. Like the direction that I'm taking currently, I just launched a course as an example. And it is very much because I have a passion for serving people who lack the income to get professional advice, but then also lack literacy, because that was the big thing that I was missing. And I was hungry for knowledge. I just didn't know where to get it. I didn't know how to find anybody to invest the time in me to give me literacy. So that is a passion project of mine, and specifically because, like you said, there's so many people out there that there's a barrier to entry in this field. It is still something that very much the affluent have access to, and those that don't have funds are still not getting the knowledge they need, which keeps them on a hamster wheel of poverty.
Hey, Dominique here, and I hope you are really enjoying this week's episode. Look, if you're a current or aspiring financial professional and you'd like to join a community of like-minded individuals that I'm sharing my 20 plus years of experience with, make sure you visit my website at www.djh-capital.com for more information. Now back to this week's episode. I didn't want to pass up a chance to talk about diversity in the financial services industry. With Lauren being a career changer, a person of color, and a female, she brings a unique perspective to the table, and this is what she thought.
I think another really good point to bring up too, as we talk about career changing, is that, you know, when you come from a different background, you have different experiences. And I was fortunate to have gone to a school in middle school where I was the only Black girl in my graduating class. So I had gotten some exposure at a younger age, but as a minority coming into a profession where no one looks like you, and you might have gone to an HBCU or, you know, for lack of a better term, lived in the hood your whole life, like, this would be a very shocking experience on top of, you know, the career change that's happening. So
stay up, hail and mail. I believe I heard that from somebody.
Yes. The CFP board president was actually the first person I think that mentioned the term. So it's not just us throwing it out there, but
yeah.
So there's these barriers. And I think that was one barrier that I didn't experience as much, but I definitely was kind of like, you know, that you stand out. I went to the NAPFA conference and I started to count because there's a room of 400 people. And the fact that I was able to count the number of people that had some sort of pigment in their skin, that's terrible. Like you said, it was less than 1% in that situation.
Yeah. No, and let me just say there that you make a great point, and I want to emphasize that, you know, the amount of Black and brown and minorities that are represented in this industry is just dismal, is the best way I can kind of put that. With less than 3% of Black and brown people being CFPs. So with that being said, not to say you have to be a CFP, but it is to say that if you don't see yourself represented in an industry that you obviously need services from as a consumer of financial services, the more likely that trajectory or that pattern will continue. And so that's why I know you are, and I am specifically interested in getting more African Americans and people of color to realize this is a real job. Mm-hmm. You can come in and you can benefit. You can obviously make a living for yourself, but you can help a lot of people along the way.
Yes. Amen to all of those things.
Well, you brought it up, so I appreciate it.
You've probably heard me say that I don't think you should start your own firm during the first 5 years of your career. And Lauren agrees with me. I asked her specifically, why did you start your firm? And whether or not you thought the solo route or the firm route was better, and why? This is what she had to say.
Definitely. So for me, it was, like you said, very much my passion behind I want to serve athletes, which most of the firms I had interviewed around with were not interested in doing. They said athletes are a headache, et cetera. And all I kept thinking about
was myself.
Like, no, I wouldn't have been a headache. I would have been a great client.
You were rare, but I know what they're talking about.
Athletes are a headache. I'm not going to tell y'all no lies. but then also, like I said, those minimums. So like, I wanted to lower the barrier to entry immediately, and I wanted a firm that was going to like allow me to help my friends and help so and so and help such and such. And it was a little naive on my part at the time.
Mm. Why? Why would you say that?
I would definitely, because most of my friends are not my clients now. Most of my friends don't get my help even for free now. So the people that I was passionate about helping, because I knew that there was a gap, are still not the people. Like, you have to be ready to get help.
Yes.
And firms exist and they run and they're profitable for a reason. And there is a kind of natural demographic of people that are willing to pay for this. So I jumped off the ledge way too early. So I will, like you said, I second your opinion into like, you don't need to just jump off and run your own thing, even though you want to be your own boss and you have this entrepreneurial spirit. This is the hardest road travel. So entrepreneurship is a hard road. Entrepreneurship and financial planning with no experience is a super duper hard road. What we think naively is that like, oh yeah, I'm just going to follow these instructions that this book told me to do and I'm going to fix their financial life. And it's like, no. I have a client, I just told them to put 20% down on the house. They made a decision they're going to put 5% down. Like, we went through all the spiel. You asked for my advice and then you did what you wanted to anyway. So that's the kind of stuff you're dealing with. But like, it's their life. They got to live it. We got to meet people where they are. And then we adjust the plan and go accordingly from there. So
next, I had to ask Lauren what she felt was her most valuable skill as a career changer. This is what she said.
I mean, it's really about understanding and listening to the person. If you do not have good listening skills, you should not become a financial planner. If you want to hear yourself talk more and you're trying to tell them what to do, that is not going to work. So,
high EQ.
Taking that information, hearing the way that they're giving it to you, and then sending it back to them in a way that they're going to be open to receiving it. And that is a skill I definitely had to figure out because I was eager, like you said, at the very beginning, the same way. It was like, okay, I got it. They want to do this. They want to, all right, here's how you, and I was not getting any follow through, any implementation. I was getting,
I call it packaging. It's two parts. It's what you said. It's the hearing what they're saying and the way they're saying that. I'm glad you said that. And then reconstituting it and repackaging it back to them. Because the same person comes to me, I get two individuals saying, I want to get out of debt. But the way they convey that message and the way I send it back is not the same. It's got to be different for each one.
Yes. I just told one client, we're on operation two commas. And so they were super excited. One of the things that they said to me was that, you know, they were so excited when they saw the first comma in their bank account because they'd never had a comma in their bank account before.
Okay.
And so now we're like, okay, like we got a comma and we got two numbers on the side of the comma. let's talk about what we can do to get you to two commas. And they were like, two commas?
So you got to break it down. What makes sense for them? I think you bring up such great points. I mean, we'll probably be on this forever. But the point is at the end of the day, I tell people all the time that, you know, it's not really selling. You can call it whatever you want. But at the end of the day, most people just want to know, what's the benefit for me? What's in it for me? And if you can boil all your knowledge and everything you know into really articulating really well what's in it for that other person, then you're golden. You're golden because essentially that's what people want to know. How does this affect me? Lauren has a lot going on. She has her own wealth management firm. She consults for a fairly large student debt counselor. She's got speaking going on. She's launching a course. She has a podcast. I wanted to know what her day's like right now. And this is what she had to say.
So I'll first go back and say that originally, I was so excited about being an entrepreneur and not having any structure to my days that there was no structure. And I realized very quickly that that was insanity, a definition of insanity. And so just because you're your own boss does not mean you don't need any structure. So
no, I'm glad you said that. Thanks.
Definitely an important part of the process. So days currently for me are, you know, and I'm constantly restructuring. You try it, you see if it works, and sometimes it doesn't. So, you know, we're in a new year, just restructured things. Mondays, I talk to staff only. So I have a pair planner, I have an admin assistant, I have a personal assistant. So talk to all those people, and then I prep for the week. I look over, you know, what clients do I have on my calendar? What do I need to do for them? What are the action items, et cetera? Monday, I don't want to talk to anybody outside the business. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I talk to clients. Mm-hmm. And then Thursdays and Fridays, I do student loan planning exclusively. The one thing that I do have open all the time is new prospects. So they can get on the calendar whenever they want to. So if you're interested in learning more about Worth Winning, like, hey, we got all the slots open for you.
Yeah. I hear that.
But yeah, creating some structure. So what was happening previously is that, like, student loan planning, I had the calendar open for, you know, multiple days. And so I'd, you know, get off the phone with you, go do a student loan call. Then I'd, you know, get on with a budgeting client. Then I'd do a student loan call. And I just realized that there's, you know, so many different things to refocus and kind of get myself back into that mode wasn't a good thing. So Mondays, like you said, the one thing we're doing is planning. On Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we're focused on clients. Thursdays and Fridays, we're doing student loan planning only. We try to have a weekend. I work one weekend a month now because I have a lot of lawyers and California clients. And time zone and timing is a thing. Yeah. And that's one of the things that's really cool about not working a 9-to-5 is that you can give yourself the freedom to work a weekend and not be mad about it, or, you know, to work late one night and, you know, not feel like you're slave because you can sleep in that day, or, you know, whatever the case may be. There's a book that many people have recommended to me. It's called That One Thing. Mm. And it is about focusing on, like, just do this, because we think of, like, yeah, we're starting a business. We need to market and we need to be on this type of social media and that type of we need to do LinkedIn and YouTube and Pinterest. And yes, all those things exist. And you can be present in all of them, but you can't be awesome at all of them and also be running your business. Are you a social media person? Are you a marketing person? Are you a financial plan? Like, you're going to have to pick something. Yep. So pick one thing in the marketing realm, get really awesome at that, and then be running your business, and pick one thing here and da da da. So that's been a slow but steady sort of thing. I'm still very much a multitasker, but I do know the value of picking one thing, and I do know how much more productive I am when I'm focusing on one thing.
In this clip, Lauren gives her number one piece of advice for any career changer, and it is powerful.
I would say don't underestimate the importance of investing in yourself. So, like you said, the mentor is somebody that can come alongside you, will probably talk to you for free. The research, you can, you know, use Google all day. But when it comes to investing in yourself, like, sometimes, it's, like you said, doctors are the own worst clients. Like, you want to get in this financial industry, but you're not really willing to invest. So you get a lot of people reaching out like, hey, can I pick your brain for a minute? You don't realize, like, that's an hour out of my day, or that's 30 minutes out of my day. You should value my time and don't be upset if someone asks you to pay for that time. So whether it's, like you said, getting someone to coach you into this industry to share their knowledge, because they've been doing this for a while. So the same way that you're asking someone to pay for your financial expertise, don't be unwilling to pay for the expertise of others who have been doing this for a while to get the information that you need.
That's a good point.
Those books or those courses or, you know, those things that are an investment in yourself. Because I think sometimes we get a little bit like, can't you just tell, like, we both brown. Can't you just help us sit down? Like,
I think you make an excellent point in that. So if you go to Dalton and you do all the coursework and you do the review, you're going to be very close to five figures at the end of it. I mean, first of all, it's a 24 month track of stuff to do, right? Mm-hmm. And when you start to think about that's going to prepare you to take the exam, have the education out the way, but you won't have experience. And you're going to still, before you use those letters behind your name, you got to have an experience. So why not, to your point, look into, you know, programs, coaches, and things of that nature if you're trying to get to the next level. Sometimes I do agree some of that stuff can be cost prohibitive, but you know, being a financial professional like me, when you start looking through people's budget, you're like, and not to throw any stones, because I have the stuff that I like to, you know, kind of splurge on too, but it's like, you're like, you have a lot of money. What is this right here?
Right.
Exactly. I've looked through many, many clients' budgets and I'm like, what in the world is this?
Because it's behavior, like you said, for everybody. You don't feel like it's a thing, but if somebody else is looking at it objectively, you're like, ooh.
In the lightning round, I just wanted to have some fun. And so I asked Lauren, what is tougher, financial advising or track and field? And she shared with me her greatest and hardest lessons. Take a listen. Lightning round, which is tougher? Being a track athlete or a financial professional, and why?
I'm going to go with financial professional because I'm in the midst of it right now and it is painful. There's just a lot. Like, you get kicked in the face, you get rejected. And, you know, I'm in year three. I'm still building. I know others are in year three and they're, you know, far more successful than I am. So you're comparing yourself and you're doing that whole thing, which you should not do. Yeah. I'll say as well. But yeah, the big thing is that you shouldn't, get so bogged down in the details of I'm comparing myself or this or that. It's a hard thing. So that was not very lightning in an answer, but.
No, I think you raise a good point though. It's probably a kind of like a little ironic that, you know, for the first half of, you know, your life almost, you ran in your own lane and now they're having that comparison.
Exactly. Yeah. Stay in your lane would be.
Yeah. Advice. Yeah.
So the hardest lesson is realizing that, you know, like you said, one, you have to meet people where they are. And then also that you can't shove anything down anyone's throat. Those that are meant for you will come your direction.
Amen. Amen to that.
Greatest moment in financial planning would be, getting a letter that someone says, like, you've changed my life. Got one recently, like, yeah, they come periodically and they're super awesome. She's showed me, like, it was just a 1 hour student loan call. And I gave her just kind of advice on things that I thought she should be doing. She showed me, she implemented all of them and, you know, here's where my balances are because of it. You know, it's been 6 months. This is all the stuff I've changed. Thank you so much. Like, those are the great moments. Track and field wise, I would say, I mean, it would probably be transitioning over to bobsled. So, sports wise, because I didn't see that coming. So that was
pretty cool. Okay, cool. Well, as you can see, I had a great time chatting with Lauren. She's up to so much stuff. Make sure you check down in the show notes to see what she's up to connect with her on social media. Also, please subscribe to the channel. And if you're interested in more conversations in finance, check out this playlist. We'll see you later. Bye-bye. Well, that wraps up this week's episode, and I hope you were able to glean at least one takeaway that will help you on your path. You know what? I'd really love to hear what it was that I said that may have helped you. Feel free to drop me an email at info@djh-capital.com. That's info@djh-capital.com. One last thing, my friend. It would really help the podcast if you would leave a review on the platform that you're enjoying it on. I'd really appreciate it. And it will help more financial professionals like yourself find out about what we're doing here. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.